got to tell you, I am very excited to be here. I've had a great week. I just got an electric car. Sweet. It is sweet. It's in the shop now. We're having a gas engine put in it, but I love it. Oh, it is the best. It's so unique, you know? I just missed gassing up my car. And, you know, petroleum now, the gas prices are coming down so much. But they'll go back up again. It's all confusing. And I don't get it because I was in the pharmacy a couple days ago. I saw that petroleum jelly has not gone up 1 cent. Too bad our car is going to run on petroleum jelly. That would be pretty cool. Be hard to get it in there, though, but you get it in there. You work it in there. You work it in. You do what you got to do.
There's comedian Kevin Nealon. For the last 40 years, he's been making people laugh with his signature dry wit, his affable nature on stage, and his many appearances on film and television. He landed Johnny Carson and David Letterman in the mid-1980s before being picked up for 9 seasons on Saturday Night Live, where he worked with everyone from Jan Hooks and Dana Carvey to Adam Sandler, Chris Rock, and Chris Farley. He hosted Weekend Update, was hilarious with his Mr. Subliminal character, and of course, Hans and Franz. Kevin captured pop culture attention again when he starred in Showtime's Weeds. He's also been a mainstay in Adam Sandler's films and comedy albums, including Happy Gilmore, Anger Management, and The Wedding Singer. He's been an onstage talk show host with the Kevin Nealon Show at the Laugh Factory, and his web series, Hiking with Kevin, has also proven to be a comedy hit. On Friday, April 26th, Kevin Nealon will be here in the GTA at the Flatto Markham Theater, and it's a real treat to speak with him. Hi, Kevin.
Thank you.
Great to have you here. How is an Easter weekend looking in California? I know you were originally a Connecticut guy.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's beautiful here, but I could kind of relate to your area up in Toronto, because I grew up in Connecticut, and you think that winter was over, and then a week after Easter, you get like a snowstorm.
Right. I know. Do you miss it?
No, not at all.
You're about to hit the road, specifically here in Southern Ontario, Guelph and Prince Edward County, and here in the GTA. Do you enjoy your trips here, maybe getting a little Canadian perspective, a little change of energy?
Oh, absolutely. I love Canada. I try to get up there as often as I can. I've played everywhere from, I've shot movies in Vancouver, got Roxanne up in Nelson, British Columbia.
Right.
I did Happy Gilmore in Vancouver. I've done Just for Laughs in Montreal, and I've done stuff in Toronto. So I love it. I've even skied up in the Laurentian Mountains.
It seems like our country suits your style of comedy to some degree. I don't know if you follow me there, but if you're such an easy person to hang out with when we see you do stand-up, maybe suits the Canadian audience a little bit.
Yeah, I never really thought about that, but maybe you're right. I think Canadians are mostly kind of well-balanced people, kind of evenly keeled for the most part.
Right.
So they kind of, they kind of nestle into their seat, and they enjoy a very kind of... My friends tell me my comedy sneaks up on you. It just kind of comes out of nowhere.
I would agree with that. And in fact, you make me feel so comfortable when I watch you do your stand-up specials and so on. And that feels like pure skill to me. I look a lot of hours in clubs and theaters. Or was that the way it always was?
No, it's evolved over the years. You can't just step into something and be that good. No, but it's like anything else. It comes with practice and repetition and getting up and being more comfortable. I think I remember looking back, and hearing tapes from my early years. I was much, I don't know. I think I was kind of like much more tense on stage, and obviously I wasn't as comfortable and I wasn't as risky. That's taking chances about, talking about different things and going out on a limb as I am now, where...
That does speak to your sneak up element, because I think you make us feel so comfortable, and then all of a sudden, the monkey wrench flies in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, I've always liked misdirection.
Sure.
I think comedy, in a sense, is verbal magic. It's kind of a misdirection kind of a thing, and that's the whole sneaking up part.
We get a bird's eye view of your backstage life in the HBO documentary, The Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling, and you show up several times in that wonderful film. And we see you with Gary and Jerry Seinfeld and Chris Rock, and it just looks like a very cool club that you're part of.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. It's you know, it's interesting. When I started, there weren't as many comedians. It was still relatively a novelty thing, and you felt a little more closer bond with everybody. But I think maybe that's still the case today because, you know, when I go to the Comedy Store, I'm, you know, you're hanging out in the back with a bunch of comics, and everybody's kind of like has the same passion. So you do have that bond in that way.
In particular, towards the end of the film, and I don't want to give too much away because I think people should enjoy it, but there is a memorial, obviously, for Gary at the end, and I thought in particular your section of that was, I mean, it was such a heartbreaking moment, but at the same time, you were so great in that scenario.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was a special night. I mean, that you only saw a snippet of it.
Yeah.
But a lot of people got up and spoke about Gary, and it was pretty amazing.
A special moment, to be sure, and worth taking a look at, the Gary Shandling documentary on HBO. We have a lot more to get to. Kevin Nealon is my guest this afternoon. On Friday, Kevin Nealon will be here in the GTA at the Flatto Markham Theater, markham.ca for info and tickets, and you can check kevinnealon.com for full tour info. My name is Mark Wigmore. More with Kevin Nealon in moments. And I am thrilled to welcome back Kevin Nealon to the broadcast. You know him from his four decades as a stand-up comedian, but also his years on Showtime's Weed, his many collaborations with Adam Sandler, his Hiking with Kevin web series, and of course, his nine seasons with SNL. Have a listen to this.
Arnold's dream is to create a fabulous utopia. But alas, the girly man is a formidable opponent.
That's right. But hear me now and believe me later. We can easily crush girly men like grapes.
That's right. And make a nice dry white wine.
Sauvignon girly.
And there is Kevin Nealon with his signature Arnold Schwarzenegger takeoff, Hans and Franz. Kevin will be at the Flatto Markham Theater this Friday. Kevin, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Kevin, I want to touch on SNL for a moment. First of all, I was raised on your particular cast, and I think it was really one of the great, great runs for the show. And we think of your characters, Hans and Franz and Mr. Subliminal and Mr. No Depth Perception, Rudy Giuliani, Weekend Update. We think of that as the era of George Bush Sr. and Bill Clinton. We're now looking at Obama and Trump. And I know people now who are so tribal and so angry about politics that SNL is sort of completely off the table for them as an option to just look and laugh. And I don't know about you, but that feels like a new level of division to me.
They mean they're not watching it?
They're not watching it.
Oh, because of the politics.
Because of the politics, okay. Because of the divisive. They don't like the portrayal of Trump or what have you.
Well, it's interesting because every year they make fun of whoever's the president, and it's always been that when you have an election year, that's their haymaking.
Bread and butter, sure.
Everybody tunes in, yeah. But yeah, it's always been. We made fun of Clinton. We made fun of Bush. You know, Dana Carvey, knock down that. You know, with Big Fred, all that stuff. So you know, you take what you can from that person and whatever that person is about, and you kind of magnify it and. You don't really have to spend too much with Trump because it's all out there.
It's true. Or maybe what I'm asking you is you're not necessarily hearing that same reaction. It's the same group of people. People come and go to the series as they always have. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, I think so. I think that series changes for people as they get older. You know, I talk to people my age or even younger, and they don't really watch it anymore. They say they just don't think they don't get the comedy or whatever. But I, you know, it's always been like that. You know, some people get it, some people don't get it. And, you know, maybe it's for a younger audience at times. And I remember Chevy Chase told me once a long time ago, he says, people don't remember this, but the original years that people, you know, loved the first 5 years.
Yeah.
We had one out of every three shows was good, he said. But people don't remember the bad shows. They just remember the good ones, you know.
People talk about the age of outrage that we live in right now and cultural corrections and Twitter and political correctness. Are you seeing the effects of that change within the comedy world, within the stand-up community? Is that something you guys talk about?
It's really an interesting occurrence that's going on right now. I know some comics can talk about certain things like the Me Too movement because for some reason their audience appreciates them taking that risk, and they know that that person, like a Bill Burr kind of a guy, you know,
yeah,
that he can talk about it and it doesn't seem like anybody gets angry. But if somebody else did it, maybe not so much. And but I think everything is fair game. It's all about your approach to how you do it. You know, if you're talking about the Me Too movement, you don't make fun of women, you make fun of men, you know,
right.
and how they're idiots. And
right. Let's talk about Hiking with Kevin. I've been enjoying it, your web series. And I guess you just figured Seinfeld and Leno had sort of had the lock on vehicles, so just get out and walk. Was that the thinking?
You know, there wasn't any thinking really involved with it. I called my friend Matthew Modine one day about 2 years ago. I said, "Matt, you want to go for a hike?" And you know, he's on Stranger Things, and he was in Full Metal Jacket, and he lives not too far from me. He said, "Sure." So we go for a hike in a canyon near my house in Los Angeles, and we're hiking, and it's kind of rigorous. You know, we're out of breath, and we're still talking, though, because we haven't seen each other in a while, and all our sentences are fragmented, and they're winded, and, you know, you can't really, it takes a long time to say one sentence. So I thought that would be a funny video clip, just to record me interviewing him, and we're both still out of breath.
Yeah,
and
that is something that. Something you have to get used to when you watch the series, is that you guys are, yeah. you know, you're doing some real hiking.
Yeah, and I was just holding my cell phone in my hand, so it was really shaky. And then on the back side of the mountain, I asked him a couple more serious questions. I said, "Matt, you ever turned down any projects that you regretted?" And then he rolled his eyes. He goes, "Oh, man, after Full Metal Jacket, I turned down the Michael J. Fox role in Back to the Future. I turned down the Tom Hanks role in Big, Tom Cruise in Top Gun, and Charlie Sheen in Wall Street."
Wow.
I said, "You idiot." And he laughed, and I laughed, and I strung it all together, and I put it out on Instagram and Twitter, and I did that for, you know, a couple of months, and then I started, you know, asking other friends to hike with me, and they did, like Sandler and Conan and, you know, all these really fun people.
And did Jack Black do it with you? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
Jack Black did it in my second season, which I'm in right now, and then I started a YouTube channel, so I made it like 17 to 20 minutes long each. It's been fun. Everybody, you know, I get calls from people, they want to do it, publicists are calling me, and I just love doing it. I love being outside, and people are much more forthcoming when they're outside and not in the studio.
I think you're onto something there. And it's so hard, right? Everybody's trying to figure out their way into this particular world where it's that DIY comedy world or podcast world, and I think you came up with a good one.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, everybody has a podcast. In fact, I went to a party, a rooftop party at Sarah Silverman's house about a year or two ago. And as I get off the elevator, the first sign I see is no podcast soliciting. Because everybody has a podcast and they all want you to do their podcast.
Of course.
It's the way it is now.
It is the way it is. You know what? We're going to go old school and have you in some theaters here in Southern Ontario. Get ready to laugh. And as I was looking at your schedule, I thought, I wish he had a little more time in Prince Edward County, because that's not beautiful wine country there and you could do some nice sightseeing. But guys.
Well, I do have the opportunity to check out of my hotel early the day before.
Okay. Very good.
Or that day.
Yeah.
You check in early. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Kevin Nealon, we are looking so forward to seeing you here and Flat O' Markham Theater on Friday, April 26th. Markham.ca for info and tickets. And you can also check kevinnealon.com for full tour info. And Kevin Nealon, it was a real treat. Thank you for taking a few minutes with us today.
Thank you, Mark. I'm excited to get up there. Can't wait.
You're with the new Classical FM.